Let's just take a few moments and ask for God's blessings upon us as we think about this message and the temptation story. I guess it's time to end our prayer. That's okay. Oh, life is good. We began on this first Sunday in the Lenten season always with this gospel reading, well, at least the reading of Jesus' temptation. It comes from either Matthew, Mark, or Luke, depending upon the year that we're at, and this year it comes from Matthew. And we need to be reminded that prior to this, Jesus is baptized. And remember, when he comes up out of the waters, God says, "This is my beloved Son with whom I am well pleased," saying this to Jesus. And the Spirit of the Holy Spirit comes down on him in the form of the dove. And it says that immediately after his baptism, he is driven into the desert. Jesus does not go to the temple. He doesn't go into Jerusalem. He doesn't go claim his rightful throne. But instead, he's thrown into the wilderness, driven. So what I want us to do for a few moments is to think about our own wilderness experiences. And they come in many forms. There are many times that we too struggle. And what Jesus is experiencing here is that he has questions. He has things that are gnawing at him, just as you and I do. And whether you believe in a physical devil or not, it doesn't matter. It's just that Jesus has doubts. Now, that seems pretty surprising, considering that he's the Son of God, that he would have doubts. But we know that he is human, and we know he's divine. And that human side also can cause us to, we worry a lot. And I want you to think about times that you've had doubts, the times that you've had questions, and where at some point that you may have even thought that maybe there is no God. Or maybe you're even thinking that at this point in your life. Now, Jesus goes out for 40 days and 40 nights, which is not something that is just an arbitrary number. It's a number that means a long time. It also means it's a fulfillment, that in that 40 days, something is going to happen, that things will be fulfilled. It's enough time to accomplish whatever task is set at hand. We know that Scripture refers to 40s in many ways. We hear about it rained for 40 days and 40 nights. We know that Moses and Elijah fasted in the wilderness for 40 days and 40 nights. We know that Nineveh was given 40 days and 40 nights to make its decision as to whether they're going to repent or not. And then finally, we have the story of Jesus in the wilderness. And what Jesus does in the wilderness is something extraordinary. Because it all reflects not upon him, it's upon God. It isn't about the fact that he can go around saying, "Hey, I'm God's son." Yeah, you know, somebody special. He's lifted up as to be put on a pedestal and to everything is going to be focused on him. No, that's not the case. It's upon his Father. It's upon the Creator. He's doing what is God's will. And sometimes we also need to reflect on the fact that when we are challenged and tempted by things, that we too also relate to God's will. It's not about us, though we like to make it that way. Now, after all, Jesus was famished. I can't imagine not eating for 40 days and 40 nights. Has there been anybody that's done that here? That's fasted that long? I can't imagine how hungry he must have been. And notice that the words that are put to him in his mind or by the tempter, and it says, "If you are the Son of God," if you are, "then prove it. Turn these stones into bread and satisfy yourself." How often is it that we want to break away from things in order to just make ourselves happy and satisfied and feeling full? How often do we also want to break our tradition, our understanding with God, by doing something we want to run contrary that God, we know God doesn't want us to do. You know, Jonah did that with the whole story of Nineveh. He ran and ran, but yet God kept, you know, would catch him. We do the same thing. Sometimes there's that question in the back of our mind that's gnawing at us as to saying that maybe we should make that effort to reach out and forgive the person that's caused us a lot of harm. Or maybe it's something where we are hearing this call to serve as a person think of anything that goes on in the life of the Christian community, whether it's to, you know, serve as a Stephen minister and to put yourself in a sense of listening to other people's hurts and pains and being vulnerable to the fact that it may also resurrect in you your own stuff that goes on. Think about how we are challenged and how easy it is for us to say, nah, I don't want to do that. I just want to take care of myself. Jesus didn't do that. He says, you know, we don't live by bread alone, but by the word of God. And then there are the other temptations as well, where he's told to, you know, go up on the pinnacle and throw himself down. And Jesus again says, you don't tempt God. And the tempter says to him, if you are the Son of God, how do you know you're the Son of God, Jesus? Don't you need to prove it to yourself just to make sure that, you know, when God said to you, this is my beloved Son with whom I am well pleased, don't you need to check that out a little bit? How often do we test God? God, if only you would do this, I'll do this. God, if only you know, give me an A in a test, even though I didn't study for it, I'll believe you. Oh, the Israelites were good at that. In fact, in the 40 years that they wandered around in the wilderness, another 40, not days and nights, but 40 years they wandered around, they did the same thing. If God truly exists, he won't let us starve out here. We need water. So Moses takes his staff and strikes a rock, and water comes forth. We do the same thing. There are so many things in our life that we are tempted to do, and even silly things such as, you know, oftentimes when you see it in Facebook, and the most recent one that just kind of drove me crazy was this image of Jesus making the sign of the cross saying, if you put amen to this and pass it on, you're going to have a miracle today. It's tempting God. Sometimes we also like to put ourselves and first before we place God and saying, these are the things in the way it should happen. Services, this is the way it should happen. This is the way I grew up on, and therefore it's this way all the time. And in reality, God has not given us a certain, you know, parameters that says it has to be this, that we have to start with this and do this and do this. That there are places that we can explore and experience worship in different ways, as we did today. It's a little bit different. Maybe it's a little inconvenient that you can't sneak in on the side as we'd like you to come through the center doors so that you maybe confront the font and to put your hands in the water and remember your own baptism. Sometimes making people move out of their chairs is another way in which we feel ill at ease. We want to take up the back and not up the front. What would happen if we did that? And finally, the tempter says to Jesus, you know, I'll give you all of this if you just fall down and worship me. Now, of course, this stuff isn't for Satan's to give anyway. It's all God's. But think about the ways in which we as a community abuse the power of this world for our own well-being. We'll take whatever it is that we need in order to survive. We'll do whatever it's necessary, and we will destroy the earth, even though in the long run it's to our disadvantage to do that. But if we can make a few bucks on it, we're going to go ahead and do that. Or if I have the power and the ability to do things my way, I'm going to tell you exactly what it is that you should do, and therefore you need to believe exactly as I say that you should believe. Don't we have those temptations? You know, when your children start to ask you, well, why can't I do this or why can't I do that? When you just don't feel like explaining yourself to you, you just say, because I said so. Right? We do that. Instead of being patient, and yes, we all get pushed to extremes at times, but you know, it's not their fault that they want to know, and they're asking questions that may even challenge your authority. And we need to be patient and loving and considerate to others. This whole upheaval about immigrants and all these things, and we seem to fail to understand the fact that we too were immigrants at one time, unless we're American Indians. The fact that this belongs to me, it's mine. And you consider all the stuff that we have in life that you know, we have collected, and hence this is our power. This is what we have. This is my stuff. It belongs to anyone else. And we really don't need all that other stuff that's out there that everybody else is telling us that we need to have. If you feel like you got to buy something, buy it for someone who's in need. Because you probably already have three or four of the same thing anyway. Temptations are out there. Our wilderness experiences do happen, and we are challenged. And so as we look to encounter the healing Christ, one of the amazing things about this story is that Jesus succeeds in being able to thwart everything that Satan throws at him. And you could say, well, that's easy. He's the Son of God. But remember, he struggled as well. And the wonderful thing about it is that he did not succumb to the tempter's understanding of saying, you know, Jesus, you don't need to go on the cross. You don't need to do that. Why would you even care about these people? They don't care about you. But yet, God does. And so he sends us Jesus so that you and I can be assured that we have the faith and the ability to accomplish the things that are set before us, to help clear our minds and to understand the difference between what it is that I want and what God wants. That we know well enough that the best thing and how to handle with each other, that we are not abusive towards each other, that we don't place our power over one another in the sense of using other people to our own bidding. Spouses do that with each other at times, and it can be, it's extremely cruel and painful to do that. Bosses can be that way in places of work, and there are times that we all have encountered those things. But you have been given a God who loves you, and it's the amazing thing that we discover at the conclusion of this Lenten season, that Jesus rises from the dead, and that he continues to promise to us the gift of the Spirit that will help us get through those moments of temptation. But there will Satan be. If you are a child of God, if you are, why not do this? If you are, why don't you just satisfy yourself and don't worry about anybody else? If you are, consider the power I can give you. Are you sure? God says, yes, we are sure. And God's love has proven that. So today, know that God has embraced you for who you are, and God has given you the power to be strong and to face temptation and to do his will. Not yours, not Satan's, not anyone else, but to do God's will in our life. Amen.